Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back for a very, I think, important conversation with a man who has given great thought and been hugely influential in understanding the nature of the enemy we're facing these days in what I call the war for the free world. He is Dr. Sebastian Gorka. He is, among other things, a co-author of Fighting the Ideological War, Winning Strategies from Communism to Islamism, and also, most recently, the brand new book, Defeating Jihad, the Winnable War. There's a theme here we're going to come to in a moment, which is what do we do about all this? But just to finish sort of laying the groundwork of what we're up against, Seb, let me just ask you about how this civilization jihad bit is in practice a complement to the violent kind, the hijra, the zakat. How this idea of using subversion to accomplish the same ends really ties in to the larger danger we're facing.
Right. So this is a very, very key point to the book itself, that just like the communists, they realize there's more than one way to win a war. You don't necessarily have to engage in kinetic warfare. You can undermine your enemy from the inside. So conspiracy, subversion, and influencing people, the people that the Kremlin used to call the useful idiots, or having people in positions of power who can change policy, not necessarily in an overt way, but in an influence-peddling fashion. So the idea here is that you simply start to inculcate your values into the other civilization in a way that sooner or later it becomes impossible for anybody to disagree with that which you are trying to create. We saw this with communism. We saw this with other types of subversive organization. And the Muslim Brotherhood understands this. Just look at what it has done in the Middle East even before it started to implement its concept for civilizational subversion in the West. Look at the actions, the recent events in Egypt. You can take over a nation by actually using democratic tools against it. And again, this is not well understood. We focus on the Boston bombing, the San Bernardino massacre, 9/11. Yes, horrific and an immense threat to the security of Americans. But there are other ways to lose this war if you wake up one morning and find that the constitutional facets of our system have been changed without a shot being fired.
Yeah, freedom of speech being one of those that's most endangered, it seems to me, and why this kind of conversation is so important, Seb Gorka. Let me just ask you, you're not only a distinguished professor in these areas, but a serious student of them as well. You mentioned the parallelism to communism, both as a sort of totalitarian ideology, the Sharia business. I wonder if you might explain, I kind of think of this as communism with a god. But Seb, what were the ties in between the communists in the day and the Muslim Brotherhood? And did one teach the other about the fine arts of subversion and stealthy means of accomplishing this same purpose?
Well, the real master at that, and I'm sure you've had him on the show, is Jack Ziak. So he has written, and he's the author of Czechisti, and he's really the master of the concept that the state security model that the Soviet Union created, the kind of 1984 Big Brother model, was something that was actively exported to the Middle East in the 50s. And as a result, there are certain actors, the Muslim Brotherhood being the primary group, that absorbed the lessons from the dictatorial model that was the Soviet Union, and to this day is using them incredibly successfully in those areas where it cannot win frontally and in the open, but where it must do so covertly and in a subversive manner. So yes, there's absolutely an overlap between what the communists did to undermine democracy and liberty and what groups like the Muslim Brotherhood are doing today everywhere, and they learned the lessons from one another.
Now, and I understand some of their leaders actually have, and those who've gone on to lead other jihadi groups of the violent kind, have actually studied at places like the Patrice Lumumba University in Moscow. So this is a direct tie-in. Now, Seb, having heard all of this, and I think it's absolutely right, of course, but I wonder how you respond to the, well, the libel, really, that when you make these kinds of points, rooted as they are in scholarship in your case and in fact, this is really nothing, nonetheless, nothing more than a conspiracy theory. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I enjoy conspiracy theories for entertainment, but I always remind people they're called conspiracy theories for a reason, because they're not based on fact. I avoid this criticism very simply. As a friend of mine in the intelligence community says, the best weapon you have is you simply footnote. Don't listen to me. Don't listen to Dr. Gorka. Listen to the primary sources. Buy a Quran. Read it. Read the works of the jihadists, Kutub, Azam. Read the fatwas issued on jihad during the 1979-89 first Afghan war. These are all the primary sources that are driving the global jihadi movement today. If you wish to deny the facts of the case, you have every right to, but don't expect me to then consider you as living in a reality. This is the problem with the current administration. If you state that ideology is irrelevant, terrorism is the function of poverty and lack of education, well, you are living in an Alice in Wonderland fantasy. I'd like to stay with the facts, and the facts are global jihad is very powerful, and it is growing, and it is an imminent and existential threat to the security of the Republic.
A central tenet of your new book, Defeating Jihad, The Winnable War, with which I completely agree. You know, one of the things that's striking about this, of course, Seb, is that the other documents that are so helpful are more contemporary, not completely contemporary, but fairly recent, notably The Project and the explanatory memorandum on the general strategic goal of the group in North America. These are further evidence, as you say, that we're dealing not with theories, but we're dealing with an actual conspiracy. I want to come to America in a moment, but just to finish this up, Seb, if you would, one of the insights it seems to me that one should take away from what we've learned about the most recent attack in Brussels, the violent kind of jihad, was the kind of infrastructure that the jihadists were able to draw upon, to use to plan and plot and execute their attacks, but also to conceal themselves in, right? You know, in the heart of the capital of Europe, by some accounts. Would you just describe the role that the Brotherhood in particular has played in building that infrastructure in places like Brussels?
No, it's absolutely shocking. One just needs to look at one fact. We have the most wanted man in Europe, so the man behind the Paris attacks, who is at large. Everybody thought he'd skipped off to Syria or Iraq or somewhere. No, lo and behold, what do we find? This man is hiding in plain sight in the equivalent of the capital of the European Union in Brussels. And this is the function of not only the conspiratorial establishment of a network of support structures across the continent, but also the abject failure of the political elite in Europe to understand the consequences of their multicultural postmodern attitudes to immigration and to the influx of people from other cultures into their nations. If you say that everything is morally relative, all cultures are equal, and then allow millions of people into your country who then do not have to integrate because of your worldview, then you will create situations that the bad guys will exploit mercilessly, and areas where there will be succor given to terrorists after they have executed an attack and before they prepare a next one. This is the sad reality that Europe has created for itself. They have created an absolute haven for the jihadists across the whole continent. And as we see from Madrid to London to Brussels to Paris, it has borne a very, very bitter fruit.
And more is in the offing, we're told, including potentially spectacular attacks against perhaps nuclear power plants and heavens knows what all else. Seb, I want to turn to the United States after a brief pause here and see whether what you've just described, and it's a very powerful but I think very accurate indictment of the political elites and their devotion to multiculturalism and the blind eye they've turned to the jihadists of these various stripes and the enabling thereby that they've done for them, and see to what extent is that also true here in the United States of America. That and more with Dr. Sebastian Gorka, the author of Defeating Jihad, The Winnable War, straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.